Okay, so last week we were talking about covering the challahs and the halacha of lechem mishnah. The halacha of lechem mishnah is learned out from the mitzvah from the zecher l'man. The man fell on Friday, fell double, so maybe we have a double portion of challah. And we were talking about shalshudas and you need lechem mishnah and bashalshudas and these things. Okay, now by the way, it's erev shavuos. So the shaila is there an inyan? Do you need to have lechem mishnah on Yom Tov? Because kipshutai, did the man fall on Yom Tov or not? The man did not fall on Shabbos because it's an issur to collect the man on Shabbos, right? So mele all the man fell double portion on Friday, but did the man fall on Yom Tov?
No, it fell the erev Yom Tov.
Why? But the ma'aser, you're allowed to collect the man on Yom Tov. You don't need an erev. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry. You're allowed to bring things in on Yom Tov. So why wouldn't you be allowed to bring in the man on Yom Tov? And if you're allowed to bring in the man on Yom Tov, so it fell, kipshuta, you should say, it fell on Yom Tov. And Mamela, if it fell on Yom Tov, there's no reason to have lechem mishnah on Yom Tov. What would you say to that?
I would say that it's not in the spirit of Yom Tov to go out.
But we're used to that.
No law doesn't apply on Yom Tov.
That's what we do.
What?
No law apply on Yom Tov.
Right. No, that applies, yeah. But no, there's only a book side. It's only Daf Yomi. What? I don't know in the spirit. What do you mean in the spirit? The halacha is you're allowed to do it.
Did it happen or not?
No, I don't mean the halacha says you're allowed to do it, but it's not in the spirit of the day. The halacha says cooking on Yom Tov, carrying, is not in the spirit. So, Al Kaponim, there's a Tosin Bey, I think. I think Tosin Bey Daf Beis says Beferish that the man did not fall on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Kivager in the Tshuva goes with this, and Mamela there's a mitzvah of lechem mishnah for Yom Tov also. Stam, just to throw that out there. What? Why taka not?
Not in the spirit.
Not in the spirit. I don't know why not. I have to see the Washington Tosis, but I think Tosin Beya. Yeah, I'm right about that.
Sounds like it.
The bottom place is there? The first wide line?
It's long, rockets wide.
The wide line there. I think Taisa says that Yaman did not fall on Yom Tov. Okay. Anyway, so there's Din Lechem Mishnah. Now, by the way, so what goes into Lechem Mishnah? What goes into Lechem Mishnah? Let's say you take a chal out of the freezer and like a little bit of the crust comes off. Is the lechem still whole for Lechem Mishnah? So the stipler used to not be makbid on that. Anything which is not nikkur, it still looks like a full loaf, is still called lechem mishnah. Or if it's not missing 1/48, they say, of the loaf. Although if it's still whole, it's called lechem mishnah. Now what about, it's very negeya, either if you keep yashan. So what happens if you go to someone's house and you bring your one challah, you know, your yashan challah, but they give you another non-yashan roll. Can you use that for lechem mishnah? You can't eat it. Okay? Or sometimes very common, you'll borrow a challah from your fret, from your neighbor, but they say I need it back. So you can hold it. You can hold it. You can borrow the challah. I only have one. Go to your neighbor. Okay, I need it right back. Just go do your lechem mishnah. Bring it back.
But
shalshut is it's not theirs. Yeah, that's not theirs. Here, they're makbid to have it back. So what? Yeah, whatever it is, they don't want you to eat it. So lemaisa, something you cannot eat, a bread that you cannot eat on Yom Tov, you can't eat. If it's like that, I think that they say it is ma'akev, it doesn't count for lechem mishnah. But if it's just a chumrah or something like that, then you could do it. What about also they talk about? Let me just double check in this sefer. What about, by the way, they talk about frozen. You forget last minute, very common shayla. You forget last minute.
You could eat it if you had to.
So frozen challah, lemaisa, you could really theoretically eat it. Especially if you can cut through it, once it's a slice, it will defrost very quickly. So as long as you can get through the slicing, right? What? Right. Yeah, exactly. So, what?
It's always.
Yeah, I'm talking about the second one, obviously. Oh, here. Okay, here I have this. The Sefer talks about it. Yeah, okay, so he says here that you can use all these examples, you could say. Because the idea doesn't have to be that you're going to eat it. The point is that you're having a zecher, you're having two challahs there. Uh-huh. Okay. So, l'maisa, in order to mekayim the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah properly, you're supposed to pick up both challahs together. Oh, by the way, one of the rayas they bring is from the language of the Chazon Ish, that on Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, Erev Pesach, Shechal on Shabbos, so you don't want to save too much rolls. So he says what you should do is save one roll, and then use a matzah for Lechem Mishnah. But the Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat a matzah, because you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So advice says from the Chazon Ish that wasn't a problem. Okay, now I want to find out. I was looking around, but I just got a hold of this sefer. Someone bought it for me in Lakewood. I'm very excited about it. So I didn't really get to look here. What happens if you keep... Do the two challahs have to be touching? Or let's say you keep one of them in the bag. It's in the get to me every Shabbos. Right? One of them I'm using, the other one is still in the bag. Do I have to take it out of the bag? Or do I have to actually be touching? Or if it's in the bag, is it suffice? What do you hold?
You can keep it in the bag.
Yeah, every time.
Well, it's very common, Shiloh, no?
You want to take it out,
get it. Yeah. And then after you take it out, you're going to put it back in. It's a chana on this.
What did I say if you put it back in?
No, last... What did you say?
Last week said, could you...
The cover. Yeah, if the cover... Could,
holding it together, stay spread.
Oh, yeah, it's for sure, but...
What is it if you put it back in?
It could be that you're doing hachana and preparing for after Shabbos. Let's say the Shabbos day meal, you're putting it back in the bag so you can put it in the freezer or whatever. So you want to keep it fresh. He doesn't discuss it, believe it or not. This sefer discusses every possible shayla in the world. He doesn't discuss this question about the plastic. All right, no. L'maisa, the halacha is that we discussed this last week. You pick up both challahs. You keep the ball on next to you. Fine. Okay, that's Lechem Mishnah. Okay, now what's right after Lechem Mishnah in the seder? So, I mean, not right after. Really went out of order, but that's all right. So halacha is. Oh, by the way, interesting shayla. If you're having mezoinis Shabbos morning, do you need to have two? Two rugala.
I say yes.
Why? Why? Because we hold that it's kiddush is b'makom suda. So your suda is really the mezoinis. That's what you're making your suda on. So but not with their wives, that's the problem. So l'maisa, it seems like it's a big chumrah. And I saw a tshuva sefer that even writes that if you do it, you shouldn't do it in public so that people don't think that you have to. It's like a real, like, you know, chumrah that no one really, you shouldn't really discuss in public. It's not a big, you know. But anyway, some interesting thing that the place can talk about that. Now, let's go into the next... the next Indian. Okay, we're going a little backwards now. Just I want to one ha'ara, okay, about Netilas Yadayim, is that people are very specific when it comes to not talking between the Netilas Yadayim and Hamoitzi. Everyone's, you know, shushing all the time and not talking. But what, now, that's a halacha, but it's not, you know, so common. It's important. But what's even more important, and people don't do that, is that you're not allowed to talk between the time that you wash and you made the bracha. Okay? Because then you're making a hefsek between the washing and the bracha of the washing. So what sometimes people will do is they wash their hands and then while they're getting the towel or drying, they talk. And then they make the bracha on the tzitzis, then they won't talk anymore. Punkt fakert. If you have to talk, you're better off drying your hands, making the bracha, and then talking after the hamoitzi, before the hamoitzi. Because the hefsek between the Netilas Yadayim and hamoitzi is much less of a problem than the hefsek between the washing and the bracha of the washing. So it's important to keep that in mind. Another thing important to keep in mind also is that you should really make the kiddush and the suda as close together as possible. So many people tend that have the knack that after Kiddush, that's the time everyone sits down and schmoozes and catches up about the whole week. And then when you get around to washing, you wash. Really, you should wash as close as possible to the Suda, to the Kiddush as possible. I keep on bumping into you. Aske Dekach, okay, it goes to the point that the Ramah, which many Yekis do, have a minig, that they wash before Kiddush, which was discussed last week. They wash before Kiddush, they say Al Netiyas Yadayim, then they go ahead and make Kiddush, and then I'm waiting. What?
Right away.
Why? Because that way you have more Kiddush Makom Suda. Because the Kiddush is supposed to be together at the time and place that you're making the Suda. So if you're going to push it off, you're lacking in the Kiddush Makom Suda. So therefore there's an Inyan. So the Yekis go ahead and do that minig. Now even if we don't do that minig, but halmias, we shouldn't be mafsik so much between washing and between Kiddush and washing.
How much is there a time frame between the time you wash and the time you should say motzi? Like the ideal?
Ideal?
Very quick.
What it says in Shulchan Aruch, I think, is the time it takes to walk 24 amis. Now, the time it takes to walk 24 amis, let's be generous, it's 50 feet. 50 feet is from here till the bulletin board is about 50 feet, maybe 40 feet, right? Or from one end of the room to the other is about 50 feet. So, imagine, how long did it take? 5 seconds?
Nobody translated that at the time on a chart or something?
They did. I'm just, let's do it right here. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, not very long. Okay, fine. Let's go to Kiddush. Let's start Hilchos Kiddush. Okay, so I think Hilchos Kiddush most people know about already, but I don't think we have any major chidushim over here. Well, let's just discuss some of the things. The first thing is like this: Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's learned out from the pasuk of Zochar, Es Yom HaShabbos, L'Kadshoy. So it's a mitzvah from the Torah. Now, is the mitzvah from the Torah to use a cup of wine, or is the mitzvah from the Torah just to say the words of Kiddush? If you say the words of Kiddush without a cup of wine, are you Yotze the Daraisa? The mitzvah Daraisa, we're saying it's a mitzvah Daraisa to do Kiddush. Right, no. So the halacha is that midoraisa, you don't need to do challah or wine. Midoraisa, it's saying the words that you're being mekadesh Shabbos. Okay, you're sanctifying the day of Shabbos. That's the mitzvah daraisa. Well, the ma'isa, that's the daraisa. Okay? So now, here comes a very interesting question. So first of all, since that's a mitzvah daraisa, okay, most people, we treat it, let's say, as a mitzvah daraisa. But here's an interesting question. The question was the Bir Halacha discusses it, others discuss it, Rav Kivega discusses it, which is like this. We know the rule that if someone is only obligated in a mitzvah on a rabbinical level, you're not allowed to be motzi someone that has to do the mitzvah on a deraisa level. Is that clear? Everyone agree to that? If someone has to do the mitzvah on a deraisa level, he can't fulfill the mitzvah for someone that has to do it on a derabanan level. Let's say a child has to do a mitzvah, but he's only obligated derabanan. So he can't be yotze someone that's mechuyev in the mitzvah deraisa. Okay, so here's the question. Questions like this, that the man, women are also obligated in Kiddush. Women are obligated to do Kiddush. It's a mitzvah to say shazman groma. Right, so why are they obligated? No, deraisa. Why? Yeah, women have to do Kiddush deraisa. Why? Because since they have to do the prohibitions of Shabbos, so they also have to do the mitzvahs of Shabbos. Okay? Since they have to do Shomar, they also have to do Zohar. Okay? Now, that being the case, so they have to do Shomar and Zohar. So now, the Shaila is like this. A man, in your davening, there's a mug in Avram that says that when a man davenes, he fulfills the mitzvah of Kiddush deraisa. Because he said the ideas of Kiddush.
Right.
Huh? Yeah? Makes sense. He didn't have a cup of wine, but he said the idea of Kiddush, right? So, frek dachreinim, if that's so, when the husband comes home, and he finds his wife, and he's going to make Kiddush. His wife is obligated from the Torah to hear Kiddush, but he already fulfilled the mitzvah from the Torah to make Kiddush. He's just now obligated from the Rabbanon to make Kiddush on the wine, using a cup of wine. That's only a mitzvah de Rabbanon. So how does he how can he pater his wife in Kiddush? Oh, very good. So do you have the question first? Question is good.
Yeah.
That the woman is obligated from the Torah. He's obligated from the Rabbanon. So maybe, so how is he going to fulfill? Oh, so maybe she should make it for him? Yeah. So, what?
Yeah,
that we're not doing. So the Zila Bamilsa, the Mishnah Berurah says. So what's the Eitzah? So the first Eitzah Mishnah Berurah gives is what Alan said. Is that we paskin that a mitzvah deraisa is mitzvah is tzrichas kavana. You have to have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah. So since you just, for example, if a person's laning chumash and he runs through the parish of Kriyashma and he had no intention to fulfill the mitzvah, we're not yoytze because we hold Kriyashma as deraisa. And for mitzvah deraisa, mitzvah shrichas kavanah. You have to have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah. So mamela, if you just said kiddush, you just said the words of kiddush, but you had no intention to fulfill. You said the words of davening. You were intending to fulfill davening. You weren't intending to fulfill kiddush. So Mila, you're not yet to kiddush with that. So you're still obligated from the Torah. That's one mahalach. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds on another point, is that you probably have explicit intention not to fulfill kiddush because you think that the time for kiddush. If I would have asked you before tonight's shir, I would say when's the first opportunity to do kiddush. You wouldn't have said in Shmoneh Esrei. You would have said and when I have my cup of wine, right? Because that's so. Therefore, it's like explicit kavana not to be yoytze. So Mamela, he says that you still chayv deraisa and you could fulfill be moitzi your wife. Another thing, Rabbi Kivager, they say over B'Shem Rabbi Kivager, that one of the ways to be Makadah Shabbos is that you treat it differently than the rest of the days of the week. And one of the ways that you treat Shabbos differently than the rest of the days of the week in the way you greet people on Shabbos. You don't say hello, you say good Shabbos. We discussed this last week, right? You don't say good night, you say good Shabbos. So Rabbi Kivager wants to say, they say over from Rabbi Kivager at least, that if you walk into your house and you tell your wife good Shabbos, oh, good Shabbos, and she says back, good Shabbos, the minute she said good Shabbos, she was yotzei kiddush deraisa. Because now she treated Shabbos with the thing, with the kiddush of Shabbos.
So now they're both
Darabanan. So now, if she doesn't...
Right, so now either one...
Uh-huh. It's kind of like counting the Omer.
But
Now, if she doesn't answer back, Amen, then this is probably... If she doesn't answer back at Shabbos, then this is probably your last Shiloh that's on your mind. But that's another answer. And another answer is what you said also, you mentioned, is that there's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that you have to say, to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we say Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. On Friday night in the davening, we don't say anything about Yetzias Mitzrayim in Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, but not in Shmoneh Esrei. We're not in Shmoneh Esrei. So therefore,
it's not all mitzvahs.
Yeah. So the kiddush that you want to use the Shmoneh Esrei for kiddush. In the kiddush, you don't have any mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore, the Chasam Sofer wants to say that you cannot fulfill kiddush deraisa with Shmoneh Esrei. Now, the Magen Avraham says you do. So what does the Magen Avraham do with this Gemara? So he says what Alan said. Yeah, because I mentioned Yetzias Mitzrayim already from before, so that connects. It's a chiddush. Anyway, okay, so Alan's on fire tonight. You know, one after that.
I got the collar right after 30 years. I might as well learn how to make
kiddush. So can you just go over that again? What did you used to do?
I would take off the collar cover after
kiddush.
After kiddush.
Before Amoitzi.
Before Amoitzi.
So interesting.
Because I didn't realize it was with the bond. I thought you don't want to
embarrass
the chalas, so it's not embarrassing.
Right, according to the two reasons we said, you're done. But according to the reason of the mon, we keep it on.
We're losing one out of three.
So it's literally, it literally happened after 30 years that someone mentioned it and we gave the share.
Somebody asked me the week before, and then the next week you. If I could have switched the order, it would have looked better.
Yeah, then we wouldn't have had such a good story. Okay. Fine. So now, by the way, based on this fact, we treat Kiddush as a mitzvah d'oraisa. So when we treat Kiddush as a mitzvah d'oraisa, for example, in shul, when we read the parsha of a molech is a mitzvah d'oraisa, to read about a molech. So you don't let a bar mitzvah boy lane something which is d'oraisa, even though he's bar mitzvah. Because in order to be mechuyav d'oraisa, it's not enough for the boy to be 13 years of age, he also has to reach maturity level. Okay? So, therefore, if we're not sure about that, like let's say he doesn't start growing a beard or whatever, so therefore, we're not sure about that, so therefore, we don't treat him d'oraisa, that he should be yotzei. So a bar mitzvah age boy, okay, a bar mitzvah age boy should not be motzi the family in Kiddush. Because even though there's a chazaka, that once the kid is 13, he's probably matured, puberty or whatever, still, if we don't know for sure, you don't rely on the chazaka that he's 13 years old for Kiddush. So he's a gadol, but not you don't give the bar mitzvah age boy to be mitzvah Kiddush for everyone else.
And if you know for sure, you can.
Yeah. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's psak. Because again, we're treating it like a mitzvah d'oraisa. Even though the wine part is only d'rabbanan, but because of all these things, we're assuming that a guy, no one was yotzei till he had the wine. And therefore, you have to treat it like a mitzvah d'oraisa.
But he can yotzei himself.
Yeah. Now, it happened to me an interesting shaila that happened to my nephew, which is like this. And that if someone's becoming bar mitzvah, this is a geshmak shaila. Someone's becoming bar mitzvah on Friday night, and they made early Shabbos.
Wow.
So now what happens? They made early Shabbos. The kid made. They heard Kiddush, but he was only yotzei Kiddush when he was 12, right? Now it comes Friday night, seisa kochavim, in the middle of the meal. Now all of a sudden he becomes obligated in Kiddush d'oraisa, depending on his maturity level. But let's say he knows about himself. So now he's obligated in mitzvahs d'oraisa. So the Kiddush that he said when he was a katan does not yotzei the Kiddush that he said when he's a gadol. Because you can't use a Kiddush d'rabbanan to pater up a Kiddush d'oraisa.
Wow.
So now in the middle of the meal, this kid has to get up and make Kiddush again.
This is only in the book. No, not in real life.
Why?
Because when he did it, it was good enough for me.
What?
It was good when he did it.
This nephew has come up with some other cool things.
Because it happened, well...
With the Shabbos timer, remember?
Same, different one.
Different one.
But a kid that becomes a bar mitzvah Friday night, it's not so posher for the kid. If the bar mitzvah is Friday night, you should make early Shabbos. You should make late Shabbos. So that the kid can make Kiddush like a mensch. Otherwise he's going to mess up his whole Kiddush. He's going to have to get up in the middle of the meal and make Kiddush again. You're saying that this is only in the book. In real life, this never happened. I hear. Okay, could be. Another thing that's only in the book, okay, that doesn't happen in real life, which is not the topic of tonight's discussion, we're going to say, because you mentioned that, and I was just looking at it, it's an unbelievable shaila, okay? It's a very cool shaila, and I'm talking about it in the koil on the second night of Shavuos. Shaila's like this. There was a ger that he got his bris milah, okay? He did the bris milah on Thursday, but he didn't get a chance to go to the mikveh yet because the bris milah didn't heal properly yet. So since the bris milah didn't heal, he didn't go to the mikveh. Now we know that a ger shemal v'loy tovel,
he's still a goy.
Comes Shabbos, so he's all pumped up that he already put up his chillin. He's ready to keep Shabbos. What? He put up the chillin. He was like, finally, they weren't letting me eat the chillin all these years. I'm finally going to do it. That's it. He's ready, and he even put in like a meaty kishka. You know, he's going all at it. Yeah. Now, the Rav came up and says, hold, he's still a goy. So a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So we have to make the goy be Michal Shabbos. We have to make him be Michal Shabbos. And he's saying, make me Michal Shabbos. I'm Jewish, right? I can't go to the mikvah, but I'm all ready to go. So, Baisa, this Rav, Yeah. Yeah. So this Rav made him be Mechal Shabbos. This is in Yerushalayim in the year like 1850. He made him be Mechal Shabbos. The Beis Din in the city went wild, and they said, and we never saw such a thing in our life. This is like Alan said, this is only in the books. I don't know where you see, but this is not in real life. There was never such a thing that a guy that already got the bris mila and he's ready to go, and you're making him Michal Shabbos, no such thing. And they went wild. That was the Ashkenazi Beis Din. He went to the Sephardi Beis Din. The Sephardi Beis Din said the same thing. And now this Rav was stuck on his own. He sent a letter to Yaakov Ettlinger, who was the Baal Aruch Lener. He sent him a shaila. Was I right or was I wrong? He says, it seems like you're right, but I asked around, and anyone that's involved with Geiris, no one ever heard such a thing in their life. That you make the guy be Michal Shabbos, even though it sounds like you're right, but obviously no one ever heard of it. It's only in the book, and it doesn't make sense. And then Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger goes to discuss, why is it that he's not wrong? Why is he wrong? It seems like he should be right. So you want to hear his pshat? Negiah Shavuos. Unbelievable pshat. He wants to taina, such a beautiful pshat, that Klai Yisrael, when were they mitzvah in Shabbos? Klai Yisrael was mitzvah in Shabbos in Mara, before they got to Torah Sinai.
Right.
Shabbos came, right? Like the Zmir says, it's Tavinu or Bimara, whatever. In Bimara, they got it in Mara before Har Sinai, Shabbos. Now, at that time, they did their Mila in Mitzrayim, but the Tevila, they only went to the Mikvah before Sinai. So he says, Klai Yisrael, between the time of Yitzias and Simon and Har Sinai, they were like this ger that did Mila without Tevila. So therefore, they got the Mitzvah Shabbos. So clearly, someone that did Mila without Tevila is enough of a Jew to keep Shabbos, and therefore that's why the minhag ha'olam is that this guy's allowed to keep Shabbos. It's a bomb. It's unbelievable.
That's what he said that the person.
That's why he said the minhag ha'olam is that we let him keep Shabbos, and what you said is not right because it's only in the books, like you said. You know, you can't pass on everything from the book. But Amaisa, I don't know, this seems to me like makes sense. Okay?
I don't see how B'nai Israel, a son of
what are you going to do with Shabbos?
He's not holding by it. Didn't heal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Moving right along. Okay. Okay. The Maisa, halachas. Let's say some of the halachas. One halacha is you're not allowed to eat anything or drink anything before Kiddush. It's obvious. Shaila. First of all, this does not apply to children. Even though the halacha is you're not allowed to feed children treif, obviously, but something which you're food which is not treif, it's just at a time that you're not allowed to eat it, that food that you're allowed to feed a child. Okay, so you're not allowed to feed a child treif, but you're allowed to give a child food to eat at a time that's not a problem. So mamela, there's no problem giving a child food to eat before Kiddush, number one. So you're a shul, the wife is allowed to go feed the kids and they don't have to wait up for Kiddush. Okay, to eat. Now we discussed many times how you're going to put the food back and keep it warm and whatever. But bottom line is you're allowed to give the kids the food to eat. Now, Shabbos morning, that means you're not even allowed to drink water before Kiddush. Right? Even water you're not allowed to drink before Kiddush. So Shaila is, why Shabbos morning are you allowed to drink water before Kiddush? You're allowed to drink water before davening. Or you're allowed to have a coffee before davening. So before davening, you're allowed to have coffee. But you're not allowed to have coffee before Kiddush. So why are you allowed to have a coffee before davening if it's still before Kiddush? Oh, why? Because the whole chi of Kiddush is that your Suda has to have Kiddush. And you're not allowed to have a Suda yet. So therefore, it's not the Zman of Kiddush. Since it's not the Zman of Kiddush, so therefore, you can have coffee and water. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. What about someone that's sick and has to eat before davening? Allowed to do what? To eat, but does he have to make Kiddush? So Ramesha says like this.
So
Ramesha says it depends. It depends what he has to eat. If he has to eat bread type foods, which includes bread or mezainis or cake, then Lamaisa he should make a Kiddush.
That's why they're picking up.
But that's not why. It's because you're not allowed to eat Pordaf.
Real weak.
Yeah, real weak, I'm saying.
No, it's like a week.
What? Oh, people that eat before davening during the week. And all of a sudden, Shabbat. No, okay, here, okay. You're saying whatever reason that they eat before davening, which I'm not asking too much reasons, but whatever reason they eat before davening during the week, they don't eat before davening. Okay, no, nice. But Rav Moshe says if the chayla does not need to eat bread type food, he just has to have like cereal or oatmeal or something like that, so then he doesn't have to make kiddush. Okay, so it would depend on that. That's what Rav Moshe says. Okay, now what about women? So this is an interesting shayla. What about women? On Shabbos morning, is a woman allowed to, what's the story over there? So I think the minhag ha'olam, if you correct me if I'm wrong, I think the minhag ha'olam is that the women say brachis, and then they make kiddush, and then eat before davening. Am I correct about that? Yeah, I think that's the minhag ha'olam. So what's the pshat in that? Because the pshat in that is that for women, saying brachis is davening already, basically. So therefore, they are allowed to eat, but after that, and by them, now there's no prohibition in preventing them from having a suda. So therefore, they can make kiddush and eat. So there is a truv in Ramaisha that a married woman is not really supposed to have her suda before her husband. So therefore, it's not so posh, whatever. But, what? It is a real thing, but I don't think that's a minhag ha'olam. Now, okay, moving right along.
No.
What do you mean by that?
No.
But kiddush is only chayiv b'makom suda. So if you can't have a suda, you can't make kiddush, or you don't have to make kiddush. That's the point.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's like this.
What's with kiddush? Like my shul, they have kiddush, you know?
Yeah, no, but you have mezainis. That's enough of a suda. We'll get to that. We'll get to the parameters of kiddush makom suda, okay?
Last time you spoke about it, there were three kiddushes.
Right. Right. Now, Grada, you need to have a kazayis of mezainis. It's a big shaila if you're going to have cheesecake by kiddush. So how much mezainis do you have to have? Because a cheesecake has a very thin layer of mezainis. So kipshutai, on a slice of cheesecake, you don't make an alamichia. I'm saying, for kipshutai, you don't make alamichia on a slice of cheesecake, even if the piece is a kazayis, because most of it is cheese. Right? So you make a brain of fashas. Even if you hold, you make a mezainis, because the mezainis is the ikur, but in the brocha achrayna, you would not make alamichia. So therefore, where is going to be your kiddush makom suda? Because I would say they have to have probably, I don't know, a third of a cheesecake to have a kazayas.
Probably better than you'd be sick.
Sick
of
what?
To your stomach. Right? A third of a cheesecake.
So bottom line is it's not practical. So you should have another cookie with your cheesecake. Yeah. Okay. So fine. Now some of the other halachas of kiddush. Okay. Very interesting shaila. A kid is the halacha is that the kiddush that we say Shabbos night, Friday night, that's the main kiddush. If someone misses that kiddush, they have to make it up the next day. That's halacha. So for example, a woman gives birth and she goes to sleep and she wakes up the next morning. By the morning, Suda, she has to make the full-fledged Kiddush. But it's nogeya for a child who's higia l'chinuch. If you have a child that's higia l'chinuch already, let's say 7, okay, and Friday night you make late, and or Yom Tif, Shavuos, he's not going to stay up. But the next day, the kid has to make full Kiddush. You're only going to make Bar Priya Gofen, which is not the full Kiddush. The child, if he's higia l'chinuch, has to make Kiddush. Because he wasn't yet to Kiddush yet. Or let's say you have a late Friday night, the kid falls asleep before Kiddush, so the next day you're only making Bar Priya Gofen, and the kid is Higia L'chinuch, so he's Mechuyev in Kiddush, Midr Abanan. You have to tell the kid he has to make his own Kiddush.
How old is that?
7, 8. I would think Yom Tov morning, I don't know, but
I didn't hear the question.
Yom Tov, does Yom Tov have the same halacha that you have to make up the Kiddush if you didn't say it Friday night? Is it by night?
So you would make two Kiddushes on Shabbos day?
Yeah, you would make off and the kid would make it.
Shabbos morning. You'd make them sequentially?
The child goes.
And you let the Kiddush make it, yeah. Let yeah, the child would have to make it, yeah.
So he makes one.
And then you make your Bar Pirag Offen, yeah.
And then you don't say him a second time?
Make two then.
Yeah, or he doesn't have to be Yotzi with you, he can walk off.
Or you can make a second one?
Yeah.
Right after?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to make that after Bracha, the one?
No, he shouldn't be Yotzi with yours, let him make his own.
So he makes one?
Yeah.
Does he have to make an after Bracha, the one, to make another one?
Why is he making two? That's not my chabin.
Because he didn't make Friday night. You make one for Friday night.
No. That's enough for Shabbos day. You don't have to make Shabbos day is Kiddush, not really Kiddush. Shabbos day's Kiddush is just a Bar Briya Goffin. So he incorporated that into the Friday night one. You don't have to make a second one. I don't know about. I do not know about Yom Tov. What's all of
him? Kiddush on Shabbos day.
We'll discuss the nature of the Kiddush Shabbos day. The nature of the Kiddush Shabbos day is very different than the nature of the Kiddush Friday night. Okay, we'll discuss that. Okay. Okay, all the other halachas will. Okay, let's say one more halacha here. Halacha is like this. You have to taste the wine, the cup. Now, one person has to drink Mali Lugmav. Mali Lugmav is a Roiv Revius. So it's, let's say, 2 ounces. So 2 ounces of the cup has to be drunk by one person. But it does not have to be the person making Kiddush. It could be anybody at the table. But it can't be divided up by many people. It means one person has to drink the 2 ounces. The rest of the cup, you could give out. But your cup, but 2 ounces has to be drunk by one person. Okay? Now, it could also be a katan, if the katan is a gil achinach. But it has to be one person. Now, does everyone else at the table have to drink? So the minhag is that it's better if everyone else at the table drinks. Okay? Now, how do you give it out to the people is a big shaila. Because once someone drinks from the cup, it's called pogum. The cup is already pogum. So if your cup is pogum, you're going to give out to everybody else to drink from your wine, they're going to be drinking from yayin pogum. So maybe that's not so poshut. The pashtus of the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion is that you shouldn't do that. But all the places can say that that's fine, that you could drink first, and then you can give out to everyone else. It's not a problem, really. If you want to be Yotzi all the shittas, then you could drink first, and then pour more wine into your cup, so it makes it not pogum anymore, and then you give out to everyone else around you. Why not do that? There's two reasons not to do that. One reason not to do that is because it's a little bit of a hefsek. It's an unnecessary hefsek between your Bar Pri HaGafen and your drinking. Why are you starting to do other things? You made a Gafen, what? Germs. What? Okay. So because of their Akpada, you have to be make a hefsek? And number two, that there's a mug in Avram that says that even if you don't have to drink a revius, but you should drink from a cup that has in it a revius. So it means if you pour it out first, you may not have a revius left in your cup by the time you're coming to drink it.
So you take another cup that has a lot of wine in it.
Oh, that's a good etzah. That you could do. And then you, yeah, that I've seen done by medaktikim. It's barely a hefsek. You pour a pirag off and you pour and drink. That's not pouring out to 10 different cups and making a whole matziv.
Yeah, we pour it into the cup.
Into the grape juice bottle and then pour it from
there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
exactly. Fine, so we'll pick it up and it's a shem. Yeah, I'll be here next week. Okay, fine.